Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
Well, today we're starting this series, Christmas Isn't Canceled, because 2020... And I like to do like year-end reviews in my journal. I'm weird like that. Like I'm going to sit down a couple weeks and think about the year and cast vision for the new year and all of that. And man, if there's just a word that stands out for 2020, that word canceled really comes to mind, doesn't it? Right? I mean, prom is canceled and Summer Olympics canceled and parades are canceled and events are canceled and all of these different things that have just been canceled on us. And maybe like me, you might start to think, well, if everything around me can so easily be canceled, what about the word of God? What about the promises that God has spoken to my heart? What about the things that he has declared through scripture? What about the dreams that he's given me? What about the prayers that I'm praying? What about the hopes that I have? Can those things be canceled just as easily as everything else? And really, I want to take 4 weeks to just say confidently to you, no. In Jesus' name, what God has said, God will complete and fulfill. In fact, there's a verse that says his word will never return back void, which simply means when God speaks it, when God sets it into motion, you better believe that it's going to be spinning. It's going to be put into motion. And I want to just take my word for it. I want to read to you the words of Paul. In fact, we're going to read these two verses every single week this month because I want them to be your anthem. I want them to stir up faith in our hearts. As we turn to God's word, the Holy Spirit combined with the word of God, it should inspire us, invigorate us, bring us to life again. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. He says, "For I am," say this word with me, "convinced." Now say it like you actually are. "For I am convinced. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from," say these four words, "the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And every believer gave a good amen. Come on, that is the word of God. That is when God is saying, there's nothing that can cancel my love for you. That's how it's read in the KIV, the Keith and Devino version. God is just saying, there's nothing that can cancel my love for you. There's nothing that can cancel this. And Paul was convinced of it. And my prayer is that during this month, as you're faithful in consistency and being a part of our weekend services and hearing God's word, that you too, going into 21, will say, 2020 was crazy, but if 2021 is even crazier, I'm still convinced that God's love cannot be canceled, that what God has said, he will complete. How do we land there? It's not through us learning more about ourselves. It's through us discovering more of who God is. Like, I'm not going to just motivate you and inspire you. You can look elsewhere from that. I want to invite you to know the God of the universe. Like, I want you to invite you to know the power of the Holy Spirit today. I want you to know what we're going to call four eternal truths, meaning these truths have always been and always will be about God. And by discovering these truths, and not just knowing them on paper or knowing them in our heads, but believing them in our hearts, when that voice comes up of, oh, it's going to be canceled, oh, it's not going to work out, oh, it's not going to come through, we're going to say, no, that is a lie from the enemy. I'm going to believe what I know about God. And so we're going to discover these truths that I believe have the power to first set us free from sin. So if you don't know Jesus today, you're going to discover a truth about God that is going to invite you to know him as Father. And if you know him, these truths are going to continue to propel you to live in the new spirit-empowered life that has been made available to you by the saving work of Jesus. And so we're going to discover these truths, and I'll share the first one with you in just a moment. But I do want to say this. I love Christmas. Like I really love Christmas. Like, growing up, I was a person, I wanted to set up the tree as early as possible, leave it up as long as possible. The more lights, the better. I ran up my parents' electric bill. They're sitting somewhere over there. They can attest to that. And I love Christmas. Like, some of you have the spirit of Scrooge, and we're going to pray for deliverance today. You're just kind of tolerating this month as minimal as possible. A pop of artificial? Are you kidding me? Like, I want you to know Jesus today. And that comes with knowing Christmas. Not really, but I love Christmas. because I love everything that comes with the season. I love getting together with friends and family, enjoying so many good meals that I'll think about how to take care of in January. That's a resolution problem, right? This month, I'm just going to eat what I want and just enjoy. And I love finding that perfect gift for someone that really, like, just, I know they're going to love it. I love all things about Christmas except for one thing, and it's waiting for Christmas, right? Like, that's the part of this month. It's like when you're setting up and you're decorating. And in our house, we've already done so many things that we love. We've done the gingerbread houses. We've done sugar cookies. Yesterday, I sat down on the couch by myself and watched It's a Wonderful Life because my family doesn't join me for that incredible Christmas movie. It's black and white. My wife did come a little bit, but the kids didn't know what was going on. Where's all the color? And I love all the traditions that our family has. In fact, one of them is the day after Thanksgiving is when we go to the tree farm and we get a Christmas tree. And we did that this past year. In fact, we got a picture of it, me and the kids. Amy took the picture. Here we are cutting down a tree. That blade could have been a lot sharper. My time would have been a lot better there. But we had a great experience getting our tree cut down. And that night, Friday night, Cece went to bed and said to Amy, well, now that we have a Christmas tree, tomorrow's Christmas, right? Like, she expected because the tree was up that the next morning there would be gifts under the tree because she doesn't like waiting for Christmas. I don't think any of us really like it. In fact, that's why someone way smarter than me came up with one of these, a chocolate advent calendar. Right, in our house, we have these, and every night we treat ourselves to a little piece of chocolate to say, oh, the day's coming, we're going to get a lot of sweets on Christmas. But there's something about waiting for all of us, whether it's Christmas or really just in life, that it's hard to do that well. Like, think about it. It's hard to wait well. It really is. And I want you to think right now, what are the things that you are waiting for? You're waiting on God to fulfill his word and his promises to you, but it's not always easy, right? Let me give you some examples. Maybe right now in your singleness, you are waiting on God, but it's not easy. In your marriage, you're waiting for restoration or for intimacy. It's not easy. Maybe you're waiting for children. You're waiting for children to come home. You're waiting for children to leave home. Depending on what, where you are in life, you're waiting. And I want you to understand this, that in the waiting, there is a temptation that every single one of us are going to face. And if today we can shine a light on the temptation, like if I can just kind of look out, there's a temptation, we can call it out, I believe that there is greater ability for us to avoid that temptation, to sidestep it through the power of the Spirit. So here's what it is. There is always a temptation to settle while waiting. That's the temptation that we will always face. Whenever we are waiting, there will be a temptation to settle. Let me give you an example that we're all familiar with. When you're at the restaurant and you're waiting for your food to arrive, do you know what the temptation to settle is called? The bread basket. Come on, I'm just going to leave this here. And some of us, we give in so much that we say, can we get another one of these? Let's fill up on this. Come on, guys, there's a good meal coming that you paid for, and yet we're okay with settling in the waiting. Let me draw the line there for you. God has a best plan for your life. Jesus said he came to give you an abundant life, a life of full satisfaction, and yet while waiting, we can often settle for less than God's best. We can forfeit the truest and purest blessings that he has for our lives and believe the lies of the enemy or just pick up old patterns and not live out God's best. Speak to you if you're in your singleness, there's going to be temptation to compromise in sexuality. That's settling. In your marriage, there's going to be temptation to compromise the covenant you've made. That's settling. In your finances, there is temptation to settle. In your relationships, temptation to settle. Is that making sense? There's always temptation to settle. But what we want to do today is we want to discover a truth about who God is so that in the waiting, we don't settle. I share with you that I love Christmas. My daughter was hoping it would be Christmas last Saturday. But we're not the first people to wait for Christmas. There were hundreds and hundreds of years of waiting for Christmas. See, the Jewish people were given prophecies about the Messiah who would come and fulfill all that God had declared, but they had to wait. Let me read to you just one that you might be familiar with from the prophet Isaiah. We read this in chapter 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. How many of you have heard something like that before, right? Emmanuel, God with us, right? Well, did you know that that prophecy was given 734 BC. That means more than 700 years before it was actually fulfilled, the people were told, Emmanuel, God will come, and yet they had to wait. And just like you and I, while we are waiting on the fulfillment of God's word, there is temptation to settle. Over and over again, the Jewish people settled. They forfeited a relationship with God, and they settled for other gods and for customs and for practices that were not God-honoring. Now, that wasn't the first prophecy of Christmas. From Moses to Malachi, we see God is declaring that this Messiah will come. In fact, I want to read to you one of the first very clear prophecies given by God about Jesus coming to this world. And this takes place in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve have forfeited God's best. They've settled. They've taken the fruit that God said don't take. And now God is bringing down judgment. He's declaring, well, this is now the consequence, the result of that decision. And when he speaks to the serpent who tempted and tricked them, this is what he says in Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your, say this word with me, offspring. Because I want you to remember that word. It's very important for us today. It says, I'll put enmity between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And what God is declaring in this moment is he's saying, this offspring of this woman, really this seed of this woman, will be a serpent crusher. He will crush the head of the serpent. Although the serpent might bruise the heel of this offspring, its head will be crushed. And yet that wasn't fulfilled until thousands of years later when Jesus Christ got on the cross and crushed sin and death. But he is the serpent crusher. But I think that would be a cool sermon series, that serpent crusher. Right? Just this is who Jesus is. He's conquered sin, death, and the grave. But for thousands of years, the people waited for this offspring to come, for this seed to be born, who would fulfill the promise. And in the waiting, there was temptation to settle. What I want to do today is I want to share with you the story of one couple who were given the same promise. They were really going to continue on this promise of this offspring, and yet they were faced with such temptation to settle. And by looking at their lives, we can learn a few things about God and who he is in the midst of waiting. And so their names were Abram and Sarai, or you might know them as Abraham and Sarah. And I'll show you when and where God changed their names. But let me introduce you to them first. When God first spoke to Abram, he was 75 years old. He was an idol worshiper, and his wife Sarai was childless. She was barren, unable to have kids. Now, if you're counting, that's three strikes and you're out. That right there would be a checklist that would disqualify you from being used by God in some great way. His age is too far past his prime. His wife can't have kids. In fact, they're not even serving God. And yet God comes and speaks to them and says, through you, I will bless the entire world. He says, through your offspring, every nation will be blessed. Now, you just heard there's a few problems with that promise. They're advanced in years. It's a nice way to say it. That's how the Bible puts it. And they can't have kids. So how is this promise supposed to be fulfilled? And they go into a season of waiting. In fact, waiting for more than two decades for this promise to be fulfilled. And in the waiting, there is temptation to settle. How many of you know that when you're in a waiting period or things are a little hard, it always seems like things go from bad to worse? Right? Murphy's Law, if it can break, it will break. And of course, it's going to break right now. And so while Abram and Sarai are waiting for God to fulfill this promise to them and complete his covenant, a famine hits the land, and they're forced to travel to Egypt, not their own territory, to find food. Now, upon entering Egypt, we pick up on this conversation between this stand-up husband and his wife, Sarai. I want to read it to you. We see this. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. Not too bad, a thing or two to learn from there. Figures, why not just give her a little compliment as we're about to enter this land? That's pretty much where it needs to stop, guys, for us learning anything from Abram. Because look at what he says next. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but let you live. So the problem is, Sarai, you're just so beautiful that when the Egyptians see you, they know we're married, they're going to kill me to take you as their own. So what's the solution? Say you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. I wrote in my notes, men, don't do this. Okay, so guys, let me speak to you for a minute. We want to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We are not to be overbearing and demeaning and all of this. I'm the king of the house. None of that. You love and you serve your wife. Paul talks about mutual submission there. That is not that. Hey, why don't you pretend to be my sister? Really? So they will take you and rape you, but I'll be spared. I'll live. Because there's a temptation to settle while we're waiting. See, when God gives a promise, there's always a process that follows. And in the process, we're either going to wait on him and be filled with his spirit or grab onto that spirit of fear that has not been given to the children of God. And in this moment, Abraham is so afraid for his life to be ended. Well, if I die, then the promise can't be fulfilled. But if you die, I could always find another one of you. So go on and keep me alive. But guys, we got to make this real to us today and not just look at Abram. How often in seasons of waiting can we give more into the fear around us than the spirit inside of us? That we can just be overwhelmed. God's not going to do it. God's not going to come through. Everything else has been canceled. Of course, this is going to be canceled too. Now my life is in jeopardy. There's no food. There's no protection. And so they execute this plan, but God, because he is good, protects them in Egypt. They both make it out alive, and we fast forward some more years. Time has passed, and still no baby, no offspring, no seed. And now it's Sarai who's getting a little antsy, saying, this thing is not going to happen. And I'm sure she maybe even felt a little guilt. Like, I can't have children. How is this going to happen? So she comes up with a plan and says, Abram, how about in order to fulfill this promise, you sleep with my maidservant so that through her a baby will be born, and then we'll complete the promise God's given. Look at what we read in Genesis chapter 16. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And then we read a sentence that I don't think, it just shouldn't be. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Now I wrote over here, men don't do this either. So if by chance your spouse ever suggests sexual immorality for your marriage, don't do it. Don't do it. And let's make it a little real. I'm just going to speak to you. If you think that pornography is going to enhance your marriage, you are so deceived. If you think that flirting with someone because you're not getting it at home is going to help your marriage, no. That is a lie from the enemy. What we should have read there is Abram said, Sarai, I know it's been a long time, but we are going to trust in the promises of our God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. He protected us in Egypt. He's taken care of us so far, and what he said he will do. But Abram agreed. And we don't have to read the rest of these pages for you to imagine the drama that unfolded in their family Christmas parties. In their meal time, in their household. In fact, we're still seeing the drama today between Ishmael and Isaac. Like this is what has been because Abram agreed. But before we're so hard on Abram, let's think for ourselves. When we are waiting, it is so easy to give in to the temptation to settle. Really, what we see here is what's called compromise. I like the definition of compromise, actually. I never read this before. It says, accept standards that are lower than is desirable. Like every single one of those words matter. When we decide to compromise the call of God on our lives, the word of God, the holy standard that he has for us, not because he's trying to stop our fun, but because he's trying to give us a fulfilled and abundant life, we accept standards that are lower. Like God says this about marriage. God says this about parenting. God says this about finances. God says this about forgiveness. And we compromise. All we do is accept lower standards. And the enemy will always overpromise and underdeliver. He'll always say, no, go ahead, you're going to enjoy it. And for a moment, sin feels enjoyable. And then all the guilt and all the shame and all the weight and all the condemnation, he just throws on you. Come on, that is not God's plan for your life. Yet in the waiting, it is so easy to settle. Here's what I want to point out. In spite of the decisions of Abram and Sarai, God did not cancel his word. I want you to understand this today. In fact, after the one of our services, I was speaking with someone, and I feel like this message was so timely for this person. Tears in their eyes, decisions just made this past week felt like the love of God had been canceled in their life. I said, that is a lie from the enemy. In fact, God had this word ordained for you today to hear that no matter what you have done this week, it does not cancel or separate you from the love of God. It doesn't. I want you to understand that. Are there consequences for decisions? Of course. Paul says you don't go on sinning so that grace can more abound in our lives. We share with our kids that with your decisions, there are consequences, positive and negative, based on the decisions you make, but that has nothing to do with the love of God that is for you. His love is available because he is good, because he is a loving father. And for Abram and Sarai, even in spite of 25 years from the moment God first made the promise, everything that took place in their lives, God was faithful to complete the promise. It was not canceled. In fact, he reaffirmed the covenant so many times. Just before they have their baby, he changes their names from Abram to Abraham and from Sarai to Sarah to give them a new identity. Say, no, you're mine. You belong to me. He gives them the sign of the covenant, which was circumcision, to say, remember, I've cut away the old things and all things have become new. You are my people. And then we read this in Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. Now the Lord was, say this word, gracious. Come on, we're going to discover more about that eternal truth in a couple weeks, but that simply means God is so good when we are so undeserving of it. God is gracious to us. He was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Let me just speak to you for a moment. You feel like you are waiting and waiting. God has the perfect time to fulfill the promise that he has made to you. God has a time set. Don't settle as you wait. He's kind of like Gandalf. He's not early or late. He's right on time. He's just, all the Lord of the Ring fans are chuckling a little bit there. He just shows up exactly when he is going to. He's perfect. He's faithful. When you are praying and waiting, don't settle. Some of you, you're praying for physical healing. You're praying for emotional healing. You're believing God. You are declaring his promises. Don't settle. He has not forgotten, and his word is not canceled. And at the right time, the baby was born. And Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son. Sarah bore him. What I love so much about this story is that none of God's fulfillment was contingent upon the goodness of this couple. It was all based on his goodness. This is the first eternal truth that I want you to discover today, and it's simply this: God is good. In fact, back in the 90s church I grew up in, when someone said that, everyone else said what?
All the time.
And all the time? Come on, somebody, we're having 90s church. I love it. Right? God is good. God is good. And so what does that mean for our lives? Here's our big definition. God is good, so I don't have to look elsewhere for my satisfaction. Because of the goodness of God, I don't have to look around me horizontally to satisfy me when God vertically satisfies me. Like, you were created to thirst. You were created to hunger. You were created for intimate, real relationships. But none of those will be fully satisfying if Jesus is not your living water. If he is not your source of satisfaction. Jesus said he brings up wells of living water in us. That is the Holy Spirit. Like, where you go, the same presence of God goes with you, so that when you encounter a moment of waiting and a temptation to settle, you say, I don't need that. I have Christ. I'm going to live his standards out for my life. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to enjoy things the way he has called me to enjoy them, not with attaching my identity to it at all. I am a child of God. My name has been changed. I am experiencing the blessing of knowing Jesus. And it's a word that I want us to understand today, because I believe that all of us were waiting in different ways. Now, Isaac was not the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. He was the offspring of Abraham and Sarah, but he was not the offspring who would crush the serpent. You see, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Jacob had 12 sons, one of them being Judah. You follow this family line all the way till Christmas. And I love the way that Matthew, who we see is the first book of the New Testament, opens up his writing. Just his opening sentence, look at how God moves him to write. The first thing you'll read if you turn to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I think that's cool. I think that's awesome, the way that God orchestrated that for us to remember he promised this serpent crusher, the offspring of the woman. He said through Abraham, the whole world will be blessed through your offspring. And now the New Testament starts off with Jesus is the son of Abraham, meaning he is that offspring through which the whole world will be blessed. And if we can't kind of connect the dots that way, God moves through Paul to write to the Galatian church and says it so clearly to us. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but, and then he quotes the promise, and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. See, at this moment, Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, which are non-Jewish believers who are being told, in order to have the love of God, you've got to be Jewish and be in Jesus. And Paul is saying, no, you don't understand. It's not about many seeds. It's not about a national people group. It is about the seed, and his name is Jesus Christ. And through him, the fulfillment, the blessing has come. He says just a few sentences before, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's those who are not Jewish, through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Guys, Christmas is the proof that God always keeps his promises. Even if it's thousands of years, he will fulfill what he has said. And that blessing through Jesus is available to all people, Jews and non-Jews alike. It's not about a nationality. It is about being in the family of God, which comes through faith, the redemption of our lives. That simply means Jesus purchased our lives through his shed blood. And what? I love that. The promise of the Spirit. As a Christ follower, you have the presence of the living God with you where you go. And that is why we can declare as Paul did, I am convinced. I have confidence. So what do we do in the waiting? We don't think about us. We dwell on the goodness of God. All of us are waiting in some way right now. As the church across the world, as the global church, we're waiting for the return of our Lord. And as we wait, we live faithful lives to him. We love our neighbor as ourselves. We honor others. We serve God. As Blaze Church, I'm waiting to see the fulfillment of the vision he's given us, that the east end of Long Island would be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, how many believe that that's a good vision, that's a mission, that every home would have repeated opportunity to put their faith in Jesus? I want to see that. And I'm sure there's things you're waiting for today. You're praying for healing. You're praying for deliverance. You're praying for family members who don't know Christ to know him. You're praying for career direction or a calling to be fulfilled. In the waiting, don't settle. In fact, here's how I want to give it to you, this last slide. Don't settle. God is good. Would you say that with me? Don't settle. God is good. That helps me know that I don't need to find my satisfaction elsewhere. And so I want to pray for you, and we're going to sing a song in just a few moments. And the words of it say this, let faith rise up, O heart, believe. Because too often, while the enemy is doing his best to throw us off and shout at us and put lies in our hearts, no, I'm going to tell my heart, believe. I need to do a little less listening to that voice and a little more speaking out the promises of God and declaring his truth in my life. And so we're going to sing a song that I believe is going to stir up your heart with faith. But first, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that we would know the goodness of God more than we ever have today. I want to pray especially for you if you're waiting right now. And so as I pray, I'm going to invite you. My hands are going to be up because I'm simply saying, God, I want to know more of your goodness. And if that's for you, Land, while I pray, would you just as a sign of surrender, maybe raise your hand or open your hands and just say, God, I need more of your goodness today. Father, I thank you for every person in this space right now and those online, and even those who will experience this service later this week. Your presence is able to show us more of your goodness. So speak to us right now, Holy Spirit. Stir our hearts. Lord, in the places where we are settling, make them known to us. Expose any areas where we've compromised. We've accepted lower standards than what you have for us in our relationships, in our physical bodies, in our finances, in our relationship with you. I pray today, God, that we would remember this truth, that you are good, that our satisfaction fully comes from you. I thank you that Christmas is that proof. It is that reminder. And Lord, I thank you for your word today. Just as you spoke it and fulfilled it to Abram and Sarai, so you will fulfill your word to us. Every promise spoken, Every word declared over our lives will come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Come on, you believe that this morning? Let's worship Jesus together, who he is. And before our team leads us in a song, I want to speak to Blaze Church this morning. And so if this is your church, then we're having like a team huddle. We're coming around the family kitchen table. And if you're new here, come on in. You're welcomed as well. But I want to celebrate some things with you. One, we've got 6 more Sundays in this space, guys. I mean, that's awesome. Right, like 5 years here and 3 services over and just everything God has done. And next week, we will celebrate, and we're going to pray, and it's going to be a great Sunday you won't want to miss. We've got just great things planned as we celebrate radical generosity and finances. But today, I want to celebrate radical generosity in our dream team. Because as we get ready to be Blaze Church Portable, there are new opportunities for every single person to make a difference on the dream team. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do right now. And don't worry, the card is not going to bite you. Some people feel nervous about this. Grab the card in the chair back in front of you. Every single person, there's one in front of you, I assure you. Just grab that card. It's just going to say, make a difference right on it. I was made for this. And here's what I want to do. And now that you're holding it, you can look back up at me. You'll have time to look at it in just a moment. But this week, I received an email from someone in our community. And they had wrote in it, you know, I'm so proud and thankful for what you've built here in our community. To which I wrote back, and I knew what they were saying, but I said, you know, really, this is something God has built through the people of God, that this is not about a me, this really is about a we. Like, I want you to grasp that. What you experience on a Sunday is first the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it's made available through an environment that is created by way more than one person. In fact, every week we have nearly 3 dozen adults who are serving on our dream team. I think we should just honor them for that. Like, that's awesome. From parking lot to platform, downstairs, people making a difference. As we get ready to be Blaze Church Portable in a space that is more than double our current size, as you could imagine, there are more opportunities for every person to make a difference on the dream team. And I want to highlight a few of those and then give you a tangible next step. You know, we're going to have 3 brand new teams starting by being a portable church. The first is our driver team. Our drivers are going to be people who really, they have a good driving record. I want to state that first. Got to keep our insurance where it is right now. But they're capable of driving our trailer that will be parked here during the week to our portable location, the Residence Inn, Sunday morning before the setup team shows up to unload all the road cases that are there. And so maybe even as I'm saying that, you're like, that's awesome. Like, that's for me. I was created to do that, to show up and to drive this trailer down to location. Our second new team is our setup team. I think this is so cool. Think about this. If you're on the setup team, you are literally building church in a hotel. How cool is that? Like, you're putting together all the pieces that make the Blaze Church experience what it is, where you're going to be unrolling road cases that have a lighting rig, and the whole sound system gets set up every single Sunday morning, and flooring panels for our nursery, and every single thing. The coffee road case is one I love a lot, right? We just got all of that, and our setup team will show up on a Sunday morning and set up church there. And then after our services are done at 12:30, our takedown team will put it all back in the road cases, put it in the trailer, and get it back to location for the next Sunday. Those are 3 new teams that are starting, and to date, we have no one on those teams because they just started. Right? Makes sense. There's no one there, but I'm telling you, I am praying and believing that by the end of this day, those teams are fully resourced by the people of God. I really am. I'm praying that there are people here. That's where you land. Like, you've been maybe waiting for a team. You're saying, I can get up early, drink some coffee, roll out some cases. I can go back home, take a little nap, and show up to the 11:30. Like, yes, you can do that. And so I want to invite you to be a part of that. But also, all of our existing teams, now they're gonna grow. Like, right now, we seat 69. Our new space is going to seat 125 plus. So you can imagine more greeters and ushers who can help your friends and family and you find a good seat when they come out to church that morning. A larger parking lot and more coffee bars and hospitality team and our kids team. Right now, our kids team does a great job in an itty-bitty living space. Right, we just kind of pack them in downstairs in 400 square feet. Well, they're about to have 1,500 square feet of dedicated kids space. Come on, if you're a parent, you're real excited about that. And if you're on the kids team, you're excited as well. No more tiptoeing over the babies and whatnot. Right, it's awesome. Right now, every service has 3 to 4 or even 5 adults downstairs. But with that much space, we want to see a kids' dream team have 8 to 12 kids' team players at every service that has kids' services. Our production team right now, I love what these guys do with just 2 people, but We're going to be doing more lighting, more video, more audio, and so that team's going to grow. What I'm saying to you is this, that as we go portable, there's more opportunity for you to make a difference with your hands. Now, we have a culture here at Blaze Church, and here's what our culture is not. Our culture is not see a need, fill a need. And I understand that culture, but maybe you've been in that culture and you saw a need and you filled it and then you were the grumpiest greeter that ever existed. Have you ever been there where someone just tapped you and said, well, brother so-and-so, we need a nursery worker, but I don't like babies. Well, we need a nursery worker, right? That's not this church. I want to assure you of that. We actually lean into a culture that says you were created on purpose for a purpose, and we want to help you discover your God-given purpose so that every week when you make a difference, you're not showing up saying, I can't believe I'm on the Dream Team again. You're showing up saying, I get to do this today. I really believe that. In fact, Dream Team, give me an amen there. It's not something we have to do. We get to do this, right? Like, we don't see where people write back to, whether it's Rachel or my wife, Pastor Amy, saying, I can't believe you put me on again. I really hate doing this. We haven't experienced that yet. And I pray we never will because of the culture that exists in this church. We truly believe we were created for this. We were made for this. And so I'm casting vision today to Blaze Church, whether you just started coming or you've been coming for a while, to consider taking a next step on the Dream Team. Now, here's what this card is. This is not a commitment card. This is an interest card. That's why there's details. You know, we don't have service times on here. We don't have serve frequency, how many times a month you serve. This is really an interest card for you to take a moment today or to text that number, Blaze Team 97,000. It'll just give you a digital version of this card. But this is really for you to say, you know what, as I look at this, I'm interested in these teams. And if you're already serving on a team, maybe you're saying, well, I'm serving on facilities or I'm serving in production, but I'm really interested in setup or I'm interested in kids, just check that off. And what's going to happen next is Pastor Amy is going to give you a call this week and just have a great gospel-filled conversation to discover what is it you're made for. How can you begin to experience the joy of making a difference? So let me go over real quick. Our Connect team serves in our Connect area. Our drivers will come and drive the truck down. And some of these times are tentative, so don't get intimidated by the time right now. We're just thinking through processes. Our greeters are at the door, hospitality, make sure there's enough coffee for everybody. Our kids team, kids check-in. Our parking lot team, photography team, captures everything that's going on. Our production team is audio, video, lighting. Our setup team, and then our takedown team, our ushers, and our worship team. Some of you, maybe you have the gift of singing, the gift of an instrument, and you want to use that gift for God. Check this off, and we want to connect with you. Now, all these teams have different processes. Obviously, with kids, we do background checks. We ask that you be in the church for a certain amount of time. All of that is there, but really, we'll walk with you through that. We just want you to take a first step today to say, how can I begin to make a difference? Because I'm so excited for Blaze Church Portable, and I'm excited for you to be a part of it. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to say a prayer, and while I pray, I'm going to invite you to write or to text. Now, your writing and texting will not null and void my prayer, I promise you, okay? God will still hear it. You can keep your eyes open and fill out this card and then bring it to the back, or online you can fill out this form, but I want you to take this next step. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray against a spectator spirit, and I'm going to pray for a participator attitude. I'm going to pray against consumption and really pray for contribution. Because guys, right now, let me just look around you for a minute. Like, we're going to reach a whole lot more people who don't know Jesus. And if Blaze Church is your church, then I know it's in your heart to create that space for people who are far from him to come to know him. So from the moment they pull into that parking lot, they see someone waving. They get to the door, they have someone open it for them. They get to their seat, they're drinking a nice cup of coffee, they're hearing great worship music, they're seeing lights that are just, it's just all of it. And so I know you want that, and I'm going to pray that you would experience that right now. So I'm going to pray, and you write, and our worship team's going to join me on stage. Father, I thank you for every person in this space and online whose heart is being stirred right now, that we would not just watch what you are doing, but we would discover the joy of being part of it. Lord, I come against this attitude that just says, take care of me. Lord, we want to be servants like Jesus, our servant King, was. And so God, I pray and I believe that today people will join the teams, the ones who are most needed, or that setup team, that takedown team, that driver team, kids team, worship, hospitality, welcome, production, photography, connect, all of it, Lord, that you've given us a vision for. I thank you that you are now moving us to take these next steps. Father, thank you that you're calling us in just 6 more Sundays to be Blaze Church Portable and to reach so many more people with the gospel. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. It truly is something we get to do. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.